crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Hey, folks, it's Kelly Bell. Today, I am at Delaware at the fairgrounds where the famous Little Brown Jug horse race runs every year. And I'm here with Mike Webkenberg of Superior Sulky. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Kelly. How are you? We're here today, and it's a good day.
You seem really up and full of energy, and I know why. Why don't you tell us what's going on out here on the track today?
Well, this is kind of a little special day. What we're doing, we're schooling colts, and what that means is I've got the starting gate out here, and we're going to open the wings, and normally you do sets of four, and they learn to follow the starting gate.
Okay, so for anybody who's listening who might not know about harness racing, we have horses, they're standard breds, are the breed. They're attached to a sulky, which is like a cart, and they race around an oval track. This truck that he has is a starting gate, and the wings open out like an airplane, and the horses line up behind this moving gate to get the race started. Is that a good description?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. See where the thoroughbreds, like you see at the Kentucky Derby, they jump out of a box a quarter of a mile away. Here at the standardbreds, we have a rolling start, and I've got these horses up to full speed when I turn them loose, and it really is exciting.
Oh my gosh, it is. I have ridden in the starting gate with Mike in the past, and it was probably the most exciting 30 seconds of my life, you know, outside of my wedding. But you say you're schooling the colts. So these are two-year-olds that have been training to pull a cart for about a year now, and this is their first time behind a gate. So they're not born knowing how to do this. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, okay, these colts were bought in September as yearlings, and all they knew how to do was lead on a halter and a lead shank. And these gentlemen have worked with them. They've taught them how to pull the cart. They've taught them their gates. They've taught them how to do what they're doing. And this is just another step in that they need to know what the starting gate is. They need to follow it, that there's another horse beside them, and that when I close the wings, it's go time. What makes this so exciting, doing gate schooling, is these babies, that means the fairs are coming. That means the middle of June, we're going to be racing these babies.
Yay!
And they're learning. And that's what was so distressful about last year.
Oh, I know. We have all just got an itch to get out, to go to our county fairs, to eat a corn dog and some cotton candy and watch some of this fantastic racing action. I cannot wait. I'm so excited to get back out at the fairgrounds and see all my friends in harness racing that I didn't get to hang out with last year. It's going to be like a homecoming. I can't wait.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But this is just a part in the education of these babies. But we have to let the public understand, in the state of Ohio, we have more county fair racing than any place else in the world, and we put $1.5 billion into the Ohio economy, which right now Ohio needs all the money they can get, so they're excited about that. But this is just so exciting because these babies are going to race soon.
I know, I've been watching the new ones that it's foaling season right now,
oh, yeah.
And all these new babies are coming up, and then the one-year-olds, you know, they find their first trainers and their first homes, and by the time they're two, they're ready to get out here and go to school, and then by the time they're three, they have a chance to win the Little Brown Jug.
Yeah, but they can win money as two-year-olds, too, and that's what these guys are trying to do is get these colts ready to race at all the colt stakes.
Well, and something else I'd just like to touch on, the standard bred, these horses are getting so fast. I mean, breeding program is incredible. Some of these horses are trotting and pacing almost as fast as a lot of other horse breeds run in canter.
Absolutely. Our breed has done wonders in its maturation into the industry. But Kelly, I got to go school this bunch of colts.
Do you think you're going to give me a ride in that starting gate?
Yes, we will later.
Okay. Worry. All right. We'll be back in just a few more minutes with Mike Webkenberg of Superior Sulky out here at the Delaware County Fair.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and my partner Kelly is out for a very exciting day at the Delaware County, Ohio Fairgrounds, their track where baby school is going on. That's right, baby school. Two-year-old colts and fillies that have been training to be harness racers are getting their first experience behind a starting gate. Joining Kelly on the track is Mike Wupkenberg from Superior Sulky. He's the driver of the starting gate. So let's head back out to the track and hear from him how the two-year-olds are reacting to their first time behind the gate.
Did you see as we were schooling those babies, the one little filly on the inside was scared to death.
Yes.
And she wouldn't get too close, and she was wobbling left and right and those things. The one that Ronnie Steck had, she had her ears going constantly.
Oh.
All forward. She was saying, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. Oh, I don't know. I don't. And by the time we got done going five times around, she was pretty relaxed with it. But you see, we're only using four horses. When we get here in September, there's eight of them, so that's twice as many, so they're way closer. But they've learned so much from now until September. This is just such a... I enjoy this. It's a little difficult to do at times, but to watch those babies, just how they learn and say, oh, what is that thing? Oh, I don't know. I'm not getting close to that. Oh, it ain't so bad. Oh, hey, this is racing horses.
This
and that's
is
what
racing.
We bred them to do.
That's what you bred them to do.
This is just kind of a neat time of year. And to me, we know the fairs are coming, and that's what's so neat.
I cannot wait. It's going to be so great. Everybody, get your vaccines and get out here to the county fairs and come watch some harness racing, because it is exciting family fun.
Absolutely. This is the best game in town.
Okay, so how long are you going to be out here today doing this baby school?
Well, that's two sets in probably 45 minutes, and we've got 10 sets, so...
Okay.
We'll be here for probably 3 hours or so, three or four.
Oh, well, but that's wonderful that you do this work. And you do this every year.
Oh, yeah. This is just it's a learning process for the babies, and they've got to learn. And it just, to me, it's so satisfying to see how a colt comes to the gate. Oh, what is that terrible, nasty thing? And in 2.5 or 3 miles, so, you know, that's not so bad. And yeah, maybe I can get closer and see what it is closer. And by the time we'll do this a couple other times. We'll have some matinees and things. And they race three or four other times. They put their nose right on the wing. Come on, let's race horses.
I've seen that from inside the starting gate. Those horses, they put their noses right up on that gate.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're excited to run. And they know they're racing.
Oh, yeah. No, they know they're racing. And we've bred these horses to do what they've done. We've spent 300 years breeding them to do it. And... They are bred to race, and they have that desire, and they are racehorses.
It is so fantastic. Every time I come out here and talk to you folks, I learn so much more about this sport. You know, I started off doing dressage and jumping and all that typical stuff, which I never thought that I would be a harness racing fan. But the more I learn about it, the more involved I get. This is the most exciting part of the equestrian world that I've ever experienced.
Probably the thing that the public doesn't even see that I get to see all the time is when I follow the races on the outside and they're 20 foot out the gate and you see them all 4 feet flying through the air, they're 18 inches off the ground and booking. Unbelievable that a 1,500-pound animal pulling some kind of cart can fly through the air, but boy, they do her.
They do.
And it is wonderful. It's extremely exciting to see them fly through the air. And you can't see that from the grandstand.
That's true. That's true. But what I do see from the grandstand, I've noticed on Jug Week, you get the best of the best.
Oh, absolutely.
From all over
sure,
the world.
Sure.
And when they come around the front, in front of the grandstand, and they hear the crowds,
oh, yeah.
You see the horses react excited, and they put their heads up and their ears up, and they prance. Oh, yeah. I mean, they just know they're stars.
These are a very, very perceptive animal. And the public doesn't understand what a fantastic equine athlete we have. To be able to learn as quick as they do and race and go as fast as they do, it is unbelievable. They are just such an unbelievably fantastic equine athlete.
They absolutely are. And the breed is called the Standard Bred. Do you know anything about the history where did the Standard
sure.
Bred come out?
Well, originally they had to trot to a timed standard.
Oh.
Okay, they had to go to a standard, which was, it started out like at 3 minutes for a mile, and then it got to be 250 and 230 and all those things. And that's how they became the Standard Bred, because they were going to a standard. They had to beat that standard time, and that's how it became a Standard Bred.
That is fascinating.
Sure.
And then the history of the lineage that the Standard Bred came out of, are they like part warm blood or?
No, they're mainly Thoroughbred Arab.
Thoroughbred and Arab.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that
yes.
would make sense, because those are some of the fastest horses in the world.
And then...
But they're stronger and
smaller. But that's where the Morgan breed came into it, because the Morgan is from northeastern states. And he was more of a stockier animal.
Yes, yes.
That's where we got a lot of our more stocky, heavier boned. You know, our horses are durable. You know, we've got horses that are racing 300 times in their lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Times a year. They are just a fantastic animal. They really are.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can tell that you're getting ready to
get back out again.
And do another round. So we're going to walk around the track and talk to some other folks. But we'll talk some more in a bit.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, folks, I'm standing here at the track with Teresa Roll and Brett Roll. You're watching intently at the track right now, jumping up and down, all excited. Tell me what you're looking at, Teresa.
We've got a baby that's behind the gate for the first time ever, and he's doing really good right at the moment. And just hoping that he stays flat and learns something, being around the other horses and seeing the gate for the first time.
And who is this baby?
The baby is a half-brother to a racehorse that we own named Full Surge that did really, really well for us, and we just sold him to Ron Burke. So he's a half-brother to him out of Uncle Peter.
Out of Uncle Peter. There's a lot of good Uncle Peters out there, aren't there?
Right.
Now, tell me how you got involved in the horse racing game.
We've been involved with horses our entire life. I started out doing show horses, and when I met my husband, he didn't like the riding, so we got into the Standard Breds, and he always was going to the track, and our Friday night dates always was going to Scioto Downs to watch the horse races. So we've just continued it on, and we've been doing it now for about 35 years.
You hear that, folks? If you get involved with horses and you start off in the show ring, you're going to end up at the track.
There you go. Right.
You know you've arrived when you get there.
Yep.
Hey, congratulations, and watch that baby go. What are you seeing? What are you seeing when you watch?
He's got a nice stride. He's relaxed behind the gate. He's not, you know, going back and forth. So he shows a little bit of promise. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
And what's this baby's name?
Surge One More Time.
Surge One More Time out of Uncle Peter.
Uncle Peter.
Okay. Well, look forward. Put that one on your list, folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, hon.
All right. Kelly had all sorts of fun at the track. When we come back, I have a lot of fun at a chocolate factory. That's right. In honor of Easter, I wanted to track down a chocolate factory that made chocolate horses, and I did just that. And the inspiration for these chocolate horses are all about the magical partnership between a horse and a rider. Stay tuned.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. You know what? I was in the spirit of Easter and Easter baskets. I wondered, who sells chocolate horses? So I went online and I started searching around. I found a couple companies like in France and Germany, but I found a company in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's called Harbor Sweets. And what caught me my eye about them is they have a line of chocolates called the Dark Horse Chocolates. And they said that what inspired this line was the magic of the partnership between a horse and a rider. And joining me to talk about all of that and more is the owner and CEO of Harbor Sweets, Phyllis LeBlanc. Hello, Phyllis. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for inviting me today.
What a fun job you have.
It is. You know, my neighbor's daughter, when she was about 10 years old, told my neighbor, did you know that Mrs. LeBlanc owns a horse and a chocolate factory? I mean, it was a dream come true for this little girl.
Oh my gosh. For every little girl, how awesome. It's like you're the Willy Wonka with horses.
Right.
And you know, not only is the partnership between horses and their rider magical, but in general, I bet you every day you have somebody walk in that chocolate store who catches the scent. And it just takes them somewhere. It's a magical thing, candy, chocolate.
It is indeed. I mean, it's amazing the way people react. You know, you can go in and they say, someone says, oh, what do you do for a living? And, you know, I make widgets or whatever. When you say I own a chocolate factory, their face lights up and they get all excited and they say, really? Would I know it? What's your chocolate? Blah, blah, blah. So it's really fun to see people react.
Yeah. So, and you have, what I found was the Dark Horse chocolate line that you have. And gosh, all sorts of really neat names, I thought, super cute names of the different things. Like there was the Dark Chocolate English Assortment, the yes. Hunt Collection, the mm-hmm. Trophy Assortment, and the Dressage Classics, which, you know, they have to be very special.
Well, they are. Are you a dressage rider, Michelle?
I am not, but you know, I love watching.
Well, I am a dressage rider, so. You know, I grew up doing eventing and pony club and those things as well. So, I'm well versed in the English lines, not so much in the Western. I rode and showed hunters as a kid as well, so. But that was back in the old days when hunters were out in an open field and we galloped and that kind of thing. So quite a different situation. But all of our chocolates, each piece has a distinct flavor and a name. Like the Dressage Classics are almond butter crunch covered in dark chocolate. Mm. The Grand Prix Jumpers have a soft, creamy caramel center in dark chocolate. And then our peppermint ponies have a sprightly little pony and it's peppermint crunch in dark chocolate. And those three make up the English assortment. And our Hunt collection has milk chocolate flavors and Hunt designs. So we have the Full Cry, which is the horses following the hounds in Full Cry, and that's the Almond Butter Crunch, which is like a crunchy toffee center covered in milk chocolate. We have the Foxtrot, which is a classic fox and horn design, and that is milk chocolate with caramel center. And then the final piece is the Tally Ho, which is a solid milk chocolate with the Hunt cap and the crossed crops. It's a classic Hunt scene logo. So those, and then all of those make up our trophy assortment. And one fun piece we have that is not in any of the assortments is our Sea Biscuit. And the Sea Biscuit is peanut butter on a thin, crisp biscuit covered with creamy milk chocolate. And it depicts a thoroughbred racehorse with a jockey. So it's named after, of course, our favorite dark horse, Sea Biscuit.
So cool. Well, we might have missed ordering in time for Easter, but you know, there's Mother's Day, there's birthdays, lots of things that you could order gifts for with these cool chocolates.
Absolutely. Your Kentucky Derby parties, all of those things.
Yeah. So how did you come up with this idea then?
Well, that's kind of fun. I started working at Harbor Sweets, which is our company. Dark Horse Chocolates is one of the brands that we have within our company. But I started working at Harbor Sweets when I was in college, and I had to get a part-time job to help pay for my education. And I saw an ad for chocolate dippers, and I thought, well, that sounds like fun. So off I went to this little company that had just moved out of the founder's basement. The founder was Ben Strohecker, and he was my mentor for, 30 plus years from the time I started working there. And he had very unique ideas, and he shared all the financials with the employees and had very open management style. And I was studying business in college. So this was a fascinating, you know, sort of microcosm of business with this little tiny company just starting out. And I worked my way up and eventually switched from attending school full-time and began working full-time at Harbor Sweets and finished up my education nights. And then I went on to grad school and studied for my MBA at Boston University. But when I was in grad school, I took a class in entrepreneurship, and I had to write a business plan. And I was out, it was prior to Christmas, and I was looking for gifts for my trainer and my blacksmith and the vet. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we had some really good chocolates like Harbor Sweets makes, but with horse designs? So I dove into this, and that's what I wrote my business plan on. And it was the hardest I've ever worked on a course in school, but it was so much fun. And it took me 2 years to convince Ben Strohecker, the founder of the company, to let me launch this. And I thought about going out on my own and doing it. And I thought, oh, I really like this company. I like what I'm doing. So we launched the line and the Dark Horse Chocolates, and it paid for all of its development in the first 4 weeks it was on the market. And it took off. It was very successful. And it wasn't long after that that Ben decided that he thought he would think about retirement. And so I worked out an arrangement to buy the company from him. So I bought the entire chocolate company. And all of this came about because of this business plan that I wrote for Dark Horse Chocolates. So it's really fun.
Well, and you know what? I think a big thing too here is that was your passion, and you turned your passion into something that was lucrative. You know,
well, exactly. And you know, the interesting thing to me is when I was growing up, I thought, if you want to have a career in horses, you have to be a rider or a trainer. And that was kind of the extent of my thinking about a career in horses. And fortunately, my parents really pushed me to go to college. They said, you can do horses after college, you know, all of this stuff. And But it never occurred to me that there are all these different jobs. When I go to the trade shows in the equestrian industry, I see so many people, you know, making riding clothes and all sorts of creative endeavors that is built around their passion for horses, but isn't necessarily riding and training horses. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Phyllis, tell us where people can find your Dark Horse chocolate line.
Well, you can order online. It's harborsweets.com, harborsweets.com. Or you can call us and order over the phone at 1-800-243-2115. Or check out your local tack shop. Many of them carry Dark Horse chocolates.
Ooh, yum. I'll have to check that out. And you can also visit when you're in Massachusetts next time.
Yes, we give chocolate factory tours, so do stop by. It's fun to see the chocolates are all handmade with fresh cream and fresh butter and no preservatives, so it's really fun.
Nice. Well, thanks again, and happy Easter.
Thank you. You too, Michelle.
And that concludes our episode. We'll see you next week for some more Horsin' Around.